My dear brother priests and deacons, fellow religious sisters and brothers in Christ, in addition to the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, tonight we're observing two other experiences in the life of the Church. As you know, Pope Francis has asked that every diocese in the world pray today for the success of the Synod, which will be celebrated in October in Rome. And so we've been encouraging the people of the Archdiocese to pray for that. You know, the topic of the Synod is the family, and there's nothing more important in each one of our lives than our families. It's the foundation of everything, our personal personality, our learning how to relate to one another. Having strong families makes strong countries. I mean, just everything depends on the family. And so this is a topic very much worthy of the reflection of the Church and very much dependent on your prayers. So please join the whole Church throughout the world in praying for the success of the Synod, not only today, but also in the days ahead and during the Synod itself. Today in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, we are celebrating the beginning of Pro-Life Month, the month of October. We're doing it here today in September rather than October, so that those of you who belong to parishes, and I think almost everybody here probably comes from another parish, will be able to be in your home parish for the opening of the pro-life celebrations there. I'm deeply grateful for those who show leadership in the Archdiocese on this issue, and one in a special way today to give my thanks to Steve Boza, who is the director of the Pro-Life Office of the Archdiocese. I suspect he's here, but I don't see him. Where is he? Oh, there he is, right back there. See? We're grateful for all you do, Steve, to coordinate and inspire us in the commitment to protecting human life from the moment of our existence, the moment of conception, through our life in eternity. But also we want to thank today those who've come to the Archdiocese to help us get into the right spirit. In the sanctuary is Father Frank Pavone, who is the founder and director of Priests for Life. We also want to thank Jessica Grono, Pastor Herb Lusk, Giovanna Romero, Brendan, I don't think I pronounced this right, or Moroki, and Bobby Schindler, our own Bobby Schindler, for all you do to make these issues very much in the front of the minds of our people. And so we ask the Lord to give the Archdiocese of Philadelphia a renewed enthusiasm to support the basis of our existence, the respect and love for every human being from the moment that person is dreamed into existence by the merciful will of God. Now, all of that is in addition to celebrating the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I ask you to turn with me to the Scriptures so that we might understand what gift God wants to give to us in His Word this Sunday. Most of you who are younger probably don't know this name, but those of us who are older might remember G.K. Chesterton, a writer from popular in England in the 1930s and 40s. He was a commentator on culture, a very clever man, and everyone looked forward to the columns he would write in the papers about what's going on in the world. And this paper asked him to respond to this question, what's wrong with the world? And G.K. Chesterton, of course, thought about it for a long while, and everybody was waiting in expectation for his reflections on what was wrong with the world of his time. And he wrote a very simple essay. He said, what's wrong with the world? I'm wrong with the world. Instead of pointing out there at the culture, at other individuals, he pointed at himself and said, the real problem with the culture is me and people like me. The reason I mention that is that's what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel, and that's what the prophet Ezekiel is talking about in today's first reading. The first reading from the prophet Ezekiel was written at the time of the Babylonian captivity. You know, the Babylonians were a huge empire, and the way they governed people, the places they had conquered, was to remove people from their home place and take them to another place. And that's what the king of Babylon decided to do with the Jews. He took them from the Holy Land and took them to Babylonia. It's called the Babylonian captivity of the Jewish people. And in response to that event, the prophet Ezekiel is talking about people in the Jewish community who complained to God that this had happened. And that's what this reading's about, about God's response to the complaint of others about what had happened. Let's look at it again. Thus says the Lord, you say, speaking to the Jewish people, the Lord's way is not fair. Why wasn't it fair that they were taken as captives into Babylon? Well, the Jewish people at that time, much like us today, thought that the problems in the world in their own lives were caused by other people, their ancestors. They were being taken into Babylonia because their ancestors had sinned against God. It was somebody else's fault, not their fault. And they were saying, this is not fair to God. And in response, God said, hear now, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. In other words, what's wrong in the world is me. We can't blame others. We can't claim to be victims. We can't shove the responsibility off on someone else. We need to be honest and blame ourselves. Now, this prepares us to understand what Jesus has to tell us in today's gospel. Jesus was a wonderful storyteller. You know, the parables, even if we hear them hundreds of times, and at my age I've heard them hundreds of times, they're just absolutely fantastic and fascinating. And in today's gospel, Jesus tells a story about two sons. It was a famous device among the Jewish people when they told stories to contrast sons. You might remember the story of Cain and Abel, the story of Isaac and Esau. I mean, the scriptures are full of stories of sons. And this is what happened. Jesus is speaking, by the way, to the chief priests and the elders. Now, this is an important notion because we have to try to picture what kind of people Jesus would be talking to today. The bishop, of course, is the chief priest of the diocese. But this isn't directed only at me, it's also directed at you. And we're not all old, although I turned 70 on Friday. It sure sounds old. You know,69 sounds much younger than 70, you know, so it's nothing to be clapping about. Anyway. So Jesus is talking to the chief priests and the elders. And I think if we were trying to place that notion in our own time, he would be speaking to the bishop and to deacons and priests and the sisters, the religious women, but also to pro-life activists. I mean, the people who are serious about following the teachings of Jesus. And he tells these chief priests and elders, the two categories of people are going to get to heaven before they do. And these categories were tax collectors and prostitutes. Now, we don't like tax collectors because they take our money, but the Jews didn't like the tax collectors because they used that money, they gave it to the Roman Empire, which used its power to suppress the people. And so tax collectors were dishonest, but they were also enemies of the community, the civic community. They were on the side of the enemies. And the prostitutes that Jesus would be referring to were generally people who weren't Jewish women, but women who were selling their bodies, and through that, undermining family life. I mean, this is serious, the state and the family, the enemies of the state and the family. And Jesus is telling these good people that those enemies of the community and enemies of the family are going to get to heaven before they do. So that'd be like me saying to you pro-life people, you know, those abortionists and those drug dealers out there are going to get to heaven before you. What would you think of that? You would be insulted and you wouldn't be happy. Well, why would Jesus say something like that? Well, the reason he says it is clear in the story. There's these two sons. And the father says to both of them, go to the vineyard and work. The vineyard is always a symbol of Israel in the stories of the New and Old Testaments, because that was the image God used when speaking about his people. They were the vineyard of God. And so he told his two sons, go to the vineyard and work. And one of the sons said, no, I'm not going to do it. And the other one said, oh, yes, Dad, I'll be happy to do it. And the first one who said no went off and in the course of the day realized that he had sinned against his father and went to work. The one who said, yes, Daddy, I'll do whatever you tell me, didn't think about it at all and went his merry way and ignored his responsibility before his father. And then Jesus asked the question of those who were listening, and he would be asking us this question, which of the two did his father's will? The one who said no or the one who said yes? And everyone says it was the one who said no, but actually ended up doing the father's will. And that's the point when Jesus inserted this saying. He said to them, amen. The Hebrew word amen means it's true. Listen to this. I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John the Baptist came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. In other words, God is more pleased with sinners who admit they're sinners and try to do something about it than those who think they're righteous and do nothing at all. And the danger for bishops and priests and nuns and pro-life activists and people who go to church every Sunday is that they will think that they don't need to be changed. They don't need conversion. They don't need to respond to God's grace to radically change their lives and their way of thinking. So sinners are more pleasing to God than the self-righteous, even if they do good things. Self-righteous people think that their virtue comes from themselves and they don't need God because they're really good. This is a basic lesson in what God expects from us as disciples of Jesus. Now, St. Paul says all this in a much more theoretical and maybe positive way in today's second reading, which is a wonderful reading about the way Christian community needs to form. Listen to these words. Were that this were true, about the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Listen to what he says. Brothers and sisters, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Vainglory means you promote yourself. Rather, humbly regard others, listen to this, as more important than yourselves. Each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. And why would we ever do that? That's the next part of this reading. Listen to this. This is in some ways the summary of Christian spirituality and Christian morality, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. He says, and he's quoting a hymn that was sung in the early church. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple, that we have the same attitude, the same mind, and the same heart as Jesus. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The cross was the instrument of severe torture and degradation. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, you and I are taught from the time we're little children in this wonderful country of ours that we should be involved in upward mobility. We want to have a better home than our parents had, a higher education than our parents had. We want to be more successful than our parents were. And parents dream this for their children, and we dream it for ourselves. We actually want to be more important than our neighbor. And we don't, you know, all that stuff St. Paul talks about is nice in theory, but we don't live that way in practice. But the attitude of Jesus is not an attitude of upward mobility, it's an attitude of downward mobility. Where we want to go up, Jesus comes down to us, taking the form of a slave, actually dying for us on the cross. And this is what gives glory to God. And that's what God wants of you, and that's what God wants of me. You know, that we give glory to God by becoming the servants of God and also the servants of one another. And to do that every day in every way, and not to be self-righteous and think we've done it all already, we've pleased God enough. No, God always wants us to do more. He wants us to say, when we've done good things, that's fine, but all I am is a worthless servant and I need to do more. And that's the attitude of Christ Jesus. So do you have that attitude? Is that the way you think? Is that the way you act? Is that the way I'm a bishop? Is that the way you're a mom? Is that the way you're a teacher in a Catholic school? Is that the way you're a leader in your basketball team or your volleyball team? Is that the way you are among your friends, a servant, rather than someone who thinks you're pretty tough, pretty wonderful? We're all to be like Christ Jesus, to have his word and to have his attitude in our hearts and in our minds. So, the Lord has given us a good lesson today, and one for which we should say thanks. This is truly the Word of God. And our prayer today, as always, is that God would help us to recognize that the problem with the world is me, and with his help, I can do something about that.